All right, everybody, how you guys doing? How many of you were in church yesterday and were able to see the campaign kickoff? Awesome. Awesome. I know, it was great, wasn't it? I probably done half of what I have to say to half of the tables here already today, because that's just how it comes out as I'm chatting with people. But yesterday was a really cool thing. And our church, Springs Church, for many of you, you've been here for years and years and years. We never seem to do things normal, hey? It's never a normal transition where the senior pastor gets to just enjoy the role and figure out how it goes. No, we have to do a $30 million campaign in the first half a year of being in this role. And here we are. So, but I love it. I love it. I love the fact that we're building, right? We can be in the other side of things right now and wishing that we could be bigger and wishing that we were building and wishing that people were coming to our church and coming to our school, but we're not in that anymore. We're in the place where it's like, how can we get seats for everyone? How can we figure out how everyone can get their families here and their kids here? And I'd way rather be in the position of handling growth than trying to figure out how to grow, right? And so we are in a really, really, really cool place. And I love this group. I really, really do love this group here, because we all have a very, very similar vision for church and where we put our finances. And you guys have been such a crucial just family to this church. It's huge. It really is. And the fact that we can move forward together and keep going. Multiple people tonight said to me, well, you have an amazing team behind you. And I said, yeah, isn't that right? It's a phenomenal. It's made this entire thing so much easier. Not easy, but so much easier. And it's just been so great to see what God is doing in the hearts of so many. I did the first staff meeting with SEA as well this last week, and it was just fun. You get almost 100 staff or whatever it is now in one big room, and it's just crazy when you get to see just the impact and the size of what we do everywhere. Like God's not coming back for, like I said, a tired church, a church that is not reaching anyone. God's not coming back for a club. Springs Church isn't a club. We're like, let's get as many people into this place as we possibly can. And I think it's just such an opportunity that we're in right now to just see the future and go, wow, we are doing some amazing things. I've had quite a few questions. We'll get into a little bit of the campaign stuff later. I just want to show you guys the video. I know some of you haven't seen the video. I'll show, not the 28-minute video, don't worry. before you're like, oh my gosh, I'm like, I know. We end up getting chatting for a long time here, don't we? And I'm like, I'll talk quick, don't worry. But I'd love to show the renders later in a little bit here, just so you guys can see the internal, the exterior, and really see what we're building. It's such a beautiful school. It is phenomenal. And so for those of you that haven't seen it yet, I'm really excited to show you that. And for those of you that saw the glimpse yesterday, hey, you're going to see another quick glimpse again today, and it's going to reignite that passion and that build that is in each and every one of us. At my staff meeting, actually, I kind of realized that people, they obviously, my dad was senior pastor for 29 years, whatever it was, and everyone knew him, but I was like, no one really kind of maybe doesn't know what I did in my life and where I've come from. It's not even close to what the story my dad has, but I kind of told that story in the staff meeting, and I figured it's a good way for me to just, you guys to get to know me a little bit more too, because I'm a person sitting in this chair now, and I, for the longest time, you go to church, and this church was my second home, if not my first home, for many, 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 many years. I used to joke about making little slingshots with the bulletins. You guys remember the bulletins back in the day, like those 10-page things we did all the time? Well, I just ripped those pages out and I folded them up and made them into this little slingshot thing. And me and my friends would go running around the church hallways and just hitting each other hard with these. They would be a bullet, just like fast. It was crazy. It was so fun. But as I got into a little bit older, I got my first job here at church when I was 16, and I worked in custodial. And it was really, really eye-opening to see every ministry come together at church and the impact of what every ministry has. I was in SCA at the time. I was in grade 11, and I started doing custodial. I'd work the 4 to 11 shift every single night, weekdays. And I'd usually take a bus. We didn't have the actual school buses back in the day when I was at SCA. And so I'd usually, if I didn't have a car, I didn't have a ride, I would take just the transit from Uville to SCA to get running into the doors to get to be on the custodial team. And man, when you learn pretty quick with custodial that you need to have good shoes to walk on that concrete floor for 30,000 steps every shift that you go. I learned how to clean toilets good. I learned how to stack chairs well. I started to realize that, wow, there's actually the excellence of the church. There's an excellence within making the church look nice too, that sometimes because it's just so normal for us at Springs, you don't even think about it, right? Just doing the halls and mopping and different things. And I joked with the custodian team here, all the younger guys that were there, and I said, hey, I used to do this we used to mop the entire halls because our auto scrubber machine was broken for most of the time that I was working here. And so we had to mop the entire halls. It was hilarious. And so I was in there for 3 years, and then I moved to maintenance in the summers where I was on tractors for ages, just mowing the fields and sweeping and weeding and all these different things. And very quickly, you start to realize that it's when I finished custodial and went into this next ministry that I worked in, you start to go, wow, like custodial, my perspective on it, this is the most important ministry. It's the most important ministry of church. And after custodial and maintenance, after 3 years in there, I moved into, I was doing Springs College in the midst of that too. And Springs College is another thing that instantly made me feel perspective on that year going, this is so important. This is one of the most important places and ministries that I need to be a part of. And then I moved into media, learned that I wasn't very good at it, but I was in there for a year. And it opened up a lot of doors for me to be able to travel with my dad. And we had a lot of different father-son trips that were work trips where I was his on-the-go media guy that would help him do the interviews, mic them up, and do subpar camera work. And it was good. But hey, I did my best, and that was where it was. And it opened up the opportunity to be with my dad a lot more, which now I'm looking back and treasuring that even more. And got to see a lot of cool different things, went to Australia a couple times in 1 year, went to Amsterdam, went to Africa, went to so many different places that was just like, oh my goodness, I wouldn't have had that opportunity if I wouldn't have somehow found my way into media. I don't even know how I got there, but I was there and I was working in media. And we used to do all the coming up at Springs videos way back in the day. Remember all those news videos we used to put out? Learned how to edit all those and shoot all those. And you start to learn how to storytell. You start to learn how to shoot. And you start to realize, oh my goodness, this is the most important ministry. A ministry that starts to tug on the heartstrings of the people through video, through audio, through testimonies, through stories. It's unbelievable. And after a year in media, I loved the team, but I think I was happy to move on because I was like, this is definitely not my stick, man. I don't know if I could do it. And then I moved into MMO, which is our kind of volunteer onboarding and a lot of the stats that we enter in and numbers and different things. It's all the behind the scenes things. Learned how to facilitate and set up adult ministry courses and our Connect courses and just eyes opened wide where I was like, oh my goodness, so many different ministries and so many different learning opportunities that we have here. A part of MMO, I was able to start going on hospital visits with the amazing pastors that are here. And so many hours of time just spending with the pastors here at that time and just traveling and going to different hospitals and nervous, so nervous to walk into a hospital room and pray for someone and learn. And it changed my perspective hugely when I got to be able to do that, do home visits, praying over 5-year-olds that were passing away, praying over 18-year-olds that were the same age as me at that time, and they're in a hospital bed fighting for their life. It changed my entire world, but it scared me for a long time. It scared me to have to pray for someone, believe it or not. And my dad was a pastor. I grew up at church. I grew up in here in every capacity where I was able to watch my dad, but yet still terrified if someone were to say, hey, you want to pray? Even in the first little while of becoming a pastor of youth, when you're a pastor and everyone in the room knows you're a pastor, you always get asked to pray. I don't know. It is what it is. It's like it's only for the pastors that can pray. And it's like, what are you talking about? Anyone can pray. Come on. I never forget this one story of being in the hospital room with, this was just for family, my in-laws. Their stepmom, I believe, step-grandma was passing away and she was in a coma on the bed and atheists off the chart, both of them, making fun of my father and mother-in-law about what they believe in fairy tales. And we're all standing around the bed and with the granddad was still alive at this time and sitting at the bed with us. And we're all sitting there and my father-in-law looks at me and goes, so pastor, are you going to pray? And I was like, are you kidding me right now? Like, I'm a boyfriend walking into here just trying to earn my keep with a family here. Like, and sure enough, I prayed for that. And it was amazing, right? It was all these different opportunities that open up really changed, and it was just so cool to be able to be someone that could pray over someone that was an atheist. And I believe just with how she moved and how she changed in her coma while I was laying hands on her, you just know that they're hearing you. You just know it. Without a shadow of a doubt, you know that they saw something as you were praying for them. And it just changed my world, and it started to make me realize, man, pastoral is so important. Then I moved on to youth. In my perspective, I think every public speaker has a different perspective on who the hardest people to speak to. To me, it is youth 100% of the time, 10 out of 10, it is the hardest group of people to chat with for me, from the stage, to preach to. And you learn how to be with them and chat with them, and you learn how to just get into their world and be who just someone who's relatable and someone who can help them. The same thing that my dad said all the time, spirit contemporary, right? How can you be spirit contemporary to every single person that you chat to? But it's opened up complete doors within youth. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, I become youth pastor because our youth pastor leaves all of a sudden with no forewarning to me. And I was like, my dad sits me down and says, you know what this means? I'm like, what? I'm like, well, he's like, you've been in youth for the last 2 years and you're going to be the next person that needs to lead youth. And I'm like, all right, here we go. So it's like, it's awesome, right? And now with senior pastoring, you've seen that that's worked in two different ways now. It wasn't, obviously you look back and you think, I wish I could have been beside my dad and my dad say, okay, you're going to take this over. You're going to do this. You're going to do this. And it didn't happen that way, but God still had to plan through everything. And that's what I always remind myself of. And that entire story, I just summed up what 5 years of my life. Well, now I've been working here for, I think, 13 or it's been crazy. It's, I think, 13 years now I've been working at Springs, and I've been almost in every ministry, and every ministry that I go through, I leave with the perspective of saying, that is the most important ministry of this church. And it starts to realize that we couldn't do what we do without everyone. And it starts to realize that, man, if the bathrooms aren't clean, then the excellence that we have from the stage, the excellence from what we have from the coffee shops, the excellence that we have in the kids' ministry, all goes straight into the trash if your bathrooms and facilities aren't clean. And so and that's just one little aspect, from kids to youth to finance to hospitality to every single ministry. It's a body that makes up one body together, right? With this heart of Jesus in every single ministry that says we want to keep going forward and keep building. And SCA, I graduated from SCA. And again, like by the grace of God, I graduated from SCA with the help of the teachers. And I'm telling you, it is when I married a teacher. It was, we went through old emails from when I was in grade 11 and 12, and it was not good. It was a lot of, you missed again today, Zach, you weren't here. This is another absent. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And my wife's looking at it like, she's like a teacher, right? So she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. I don't even know how I graduated. It was a crazy, crazy time in grade 11 and 12. All my friends were having three spares out of their day. And I think I had one extra course on top of the entire full course load of grade 11 and grade 12. So most people have 10 courses. I had 12 in grade 11 and in grade 12 in order to graduate, because it was just how it worked. I moved to Calgary in grade 8. And I went to a school that just was not for me. And then I did correspondence. And correspondence takes some discipline, let me tell you. For social butterfly Zach, it was an interesting time, and so I fell behind quite a bit in those grade 8 and grade to grade 10, and then I had to work a lot from grade 11 to grade 12 to make it happen. But since then, I've been in almost every area and worked in almost every area of church to see every aspect of it. And it's been very great when you get to talk to an 18-year-old, 17-year-old custodian that just got hired, and they just view you as you are in your role today. And then when I start to say, oh yeah, I did that. Oh yeah, I've cleaned up quite a few different bodily fluid messes in those bathrooms that happen to hit hard at times. And you're like, what is going on? You get a radio on a Sunday that says clean up in this bathroom. And you're like, oh no, I don't want to go, right? But that's crazy, right? And many of us don't even see that, right? Because that's the excellence of church, and that's the excellence of our volunteers and you guys and everyone where everyone serves. It is so, so amazing. And as we start this campaign even, it's crazy because we do what we do. And I'm preaching to the choir right now. You guys are on board. You guys understand tithing. You guys understand that this church needs that and needs a group of people that are behind it and financing it. I don't even have to preach that to you guys because we all get that. But believe it or not, we do what we do, and most churches do what they do with under 10% of tithers, of congregants that come and call the church their home. 90% don't tithe. 90%. And so it's unbelievable. And I've talked to a few different tables tonight, and I've kind of when I speak from the pulpit on tithing, many people say, you should teach about tithing more often. I said, I love to. But you have to understand that when I preach about tithing, less than 10% fully agree with what I'm saying. And the other 90%, I am challenging them head on, which is great. I love challenging them. If you've listened to my messages in the last few months, you know I don't say it lightly. I usually say it pretty directly, and I have no problem with that. But it's sometimes when it comes from the pastor, from the stage, you get stuck in this spot where if I owned a steakhouse, I said this to a couple of tables. I said, if I owned the steakhouse and I said, hey, you guys, go come check out my steakhouse. It has the best steak in town. You look at me and go, okay, he's the owner. Of course he's going to say he has the best steak in town. Like, what the heck, right? But if one of your friends came up to you and said, hey, they have the best steak in town, you should go try it. You go try it the next week, you make a reservation and figure it out. And so I'm sitting in front of a group of people and a family in this room where you've all bought into this. You know why we do things. You know the blessing that God puts on our lives when we put him first. And that's something that's so beautiful. And as a group, we can go into the church and through our conversations. I'm not saying go and campaign directly to people. I'm just saying when we can just talk to people and tell them why we're here, why we got to where we get to, it's because of the amazing vision that Pastor Leon had, but also that you guys stepped up and many other people in our church stepped up as well. And that's something that's really, really beautiful. Proverbs is all full of that. And I love Proverbs. My dad used to always tell me, just read it every day, one chapter every single day. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs, and there's usually 31 days in the month, and whatever it might be, and you can just go and you can read every chapter, one chapter every single day, and it's something you can always apply to your life. And I love in Proverbs 3, verse 9 to 10, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. I've been studying first fruits a lot in the Bible lately, and it's really cool to see. It's less about the money. It's less about what you give. It's less about that. Tithing, yes, it's all throughout the Bible, and it's about obedience for sure, but it's more so the Bible talks about where your treasure is, your heart is. And so for those that don't give towards God's calling on their life and the ministry, we live in a world so much right now that the biggest God idolatry that everyone serves is money. Everywhere. Everyone's looking to get more and more and more and more. Everyone's looking to figure out once they got a little bit of something, they're like, I want to keep getting more, keep getting more, keep getting more. But the second we start giving, in my own life too, you start to realize, oh my goodness, it almost changes your perspective to really understanding God's blessing on your life and going, whoa, I love this. I was reading a book and the book's called The Blessed Life, and it's about, it's the author is a pastor from the States, and his name's Robert Morris, and I don't want to just throw books your way all the time when I haven't vetted them a lot. But I read that book and it changed a lot of my view on tithing, on giving, on stewardship. And so we've ordered a bunch of those books. And I want to give them to you. Unfortunately, I didn't get here for today. But we're going to email you guys in the next little while. And I'm not giving you this book to say you guys need to learn about tithing. We all understand that. But as a church, every ministry is so important. If anyone knows how to tithe, it's us. We're right in this room. We're here. But we can also be that person that can talk to people in the hall and feel more confident about why we give. Sometimes you know why you give, but it's hard to put that into words when you're talking to someone in the hallway. You're like, oh, how do I explain this to them? How do I connect with them? And this book just puts it so beautifully. And so we're going to have, I'll get them to email you guys all in the next week or so or couple weeks, whenever these books come in. And then you guys can swing by the office and pick them up, because I really want you guys to read them and get them inside of you, because they're something that will change your entire outlook on stewardship and about God and about blessing. It is phenomenal. It really is. It'll change it. So be on the lookout for those emails as we send them out in the next couple weeks, and read that book and let me know what you think. Come talk to me what you think, because it's so cool. Take the meat, spit out the bones. If something really hits you weird, I'm not condoning the entire book. I'm just saying read it and have those doctrinal eyes on it. But as far as I know, it was really, really good and really great. And I think the biggest thing that's been on my heart lately is if we can get people to understand that when we put God first in everything, lives change. I was talking to someone yesterday in the front of the sanctuary, and he came up to me and he just said, when I start, because I talked to him, I said, you guys need to come consistently. Make sure you come consistently. And that's when the change begins to happen. He said, dude, the minute I started coming here consistently, my entire life changed. I said, really? He's like, seriously. And I'm like, when they experience that, not only is it an easier step into tithing, because they now realize, wow, like, they're not just saying this because they need money. I'm not saying it because the need of money is there. Of course that's there. I'm saying it because in your own life, you start to put God first in your first fruits of what you make and everything that you do. And you now, in your own life, put God at the first, right there, period. It is there. And when God's there and you give 10% of your income, this is a cool way to say it to other people in the halls too, is that you can live off a blessed 90%. You can't give to Shaw for your first fruits and have a blessed 90%. They just take 30%. I'm just kidding. Whatever Wi-Fi is these days, right? But it's amazing when you start to think that your first fruit goes to God and He blesses that. I've said to a couple people in the hallway, we use a budgeting app myself, me and my wife, and it's by Dave Ramsey, the Every Dollar one. It's perfect for that. And every single month, it is budgeted to every dollar. I mean, every cent. Every cent. And at the end of every month, I'm like, Jess, how do we have an extra $70? How do we have an extra $200? Whatever it is. Every month, there's somehow in our every dollar budget, extra money. And I'm like, I don't understand how this works. The calculation doesn't add up. I said, this is clearly God's mathematics because it ain't mine. Because to me, I'm pulling out hair going, where is this coming from? I don't understand where it comes from. But I just love to give towards God and see what He does in your life. I don't like promising things to the congregation, but the moment you start tithing, perspectives change and you start to really see what you're a part of. And so a part of this campaign too, I'm not here to tell everyone to write checks to this campaign. That's not what this is about. I love just getting together, hanging out, loving on each other, passing ideas to different businesses that you guys own or whatever you're a part of, just to have that camaraderie in here. But I do know that your group of people, your network, you are the campaigner to that network. What I preach from stage sometimes can go on deaf ears. Sometimes the respect that people have for you in your circles might be better or bigger than the respect they have for me on stage. It just depends on who you're chatting with. And so never underestimate your own testimony and why you do things. And don't stay quiet about that. Don't ever stay quiet about that. I don't care if you're an introvert, an extrovert, you don't think you're good at talking, whatever it might be. Get out there and tell them why you do what you do and why you support what you support. Because everyone else does it. But for some reason, the church world and tithing and giving, that's where we're all like, oh, we don't want to ask people for money. It happens everywhere. You go to Cabela's, would you like to give a roundup for the outdoor fund? It's it everywhere, right? And you're like, oh, I didn't even think about that, right? I told Mike, I was like, maybe we should round up at the coffee shops. Maybe that would be good. But lots of different ideas that are coming in, but it's always fun to figure them out. But I just don't want you guys to ever underestimate your ability to campaign to those around you. Whether that's for tithing or whether that's just for giving towards this campaign, I truly believe to my very core, and Holy Spirit led, in my opinion, for me, I feel so at peace to know that we're going to have people that have never given towards this church give towards this. Never darkened our door, and they're going to give towards this. And maybe that's going to put it on the map for them and go, I want to check that place out. I want to go there. I want to see what they're doing. And I've said this from the beginning, and I'll say it every single time, that the moment they step on the tiles of any one of our churches, their life changes. It just does. It just does. And the more people I chat with in the halls, the more people that I talk to everywhere I go, people are hurting in our halls, but you'd never guess it. You'd never guess it because they slap that joy on the second they walk in. They give, they tithe, they volunteer, they enjoy, they laugh, even in the midst of the pain that they're in. But it's different culture at Springs. We teach that even in the midst of your trial, be happy, be joyful. Celebrate someone else that just had a win, even though you're still waiting for what's happening in your life. But that doesn't matter. You can still be behind that person and hugging them and parading them around saying, yes, you did it. You're through what you went through. That's something that's so beautiful. And that's what makes a family a family. And so this campaign is a huge one, of course. A couple people came up to me and they said, that's quite the ambitious one. I'm like, it's not ambitious. Whatever. We're going to go do it. Like, either you're on board or you're not. You know what I mean? Like, and let's get on board and let's go do this. And it's going to be amazing to see what God does. I think people don't realize, and we can only say it so much from the pulpit. My job on stage is to love people, is to accept people, my calling is to share Jesus with people. My calling is not to be overly political. My job is not to campaign for conservatives or liberals or whatever it might be, although I have my sides in which I believe, of course, but my job is to accept everyone. My job is to make sure that the acceptance is, love, accept, forgive is great, but it has its moments at times where we also don't need to conform to other people's beliefs. We all step into church and go, we can all serve one God and have differing opinions and still walk around, have a coffee, laugh with each other, have friendships, and that's what's beautiful about church. And so But that doesn't mean that I'm not passionate about those areas. I am very passionate about those areas, and that's why we're doing this school, because I realize that when we have 100, at least 100 just complete foundational Christians that are on Jesus, love Jesus, have their identity set in Jesus, who they are, know what their purpose is, know where they're going, their calling, are directed by Holy Spirit, the world will change. It will. There's no way it can't. It can't. That's why I said on Sunday that I'm so grateful that if there's one thing my dad instilled in me before he passed away, it was the love of Jesus. Because he knew that would do everything else for me. Everything. He doesn't need to teach me anything. Business, although he did, business principles and different things in the Bible, he doesn't need to teach me that, because Holy Spirit will lead me to the right people, will lead me to the right businesses, will lead me to the right different things and scriptures and books where I can just learn that, because that's what Jesus is all about. It's about your life and living a life where we can make disciples of every nation. And let me tell you, we're doing that at an astronomical rate. In my social media, I had someone that doesn't even come to our church message me, and it was from her mom's account, and she was 8 years old. And she said, "I have some questions about God." And I was like, "Oh my gosh." The first one was, "Who's Noah? And what does he have to do with anything?" kind of thing. And I was like, "All right, let's go." Number two was Adam and Eve. No question mark, no nothing, just Adam and Eve. So I gave her a little synopsis on Adam and Eve. The third one went real deep, real quick. And she went from Noah and Adam and Eve to if God wants the best for us, then why are there still sins? And I was like, holy, you just sprinkled some nice little easy ones in the beginning and then went straight for the gold on that last one. And so I sent her a good response back. And I was like, I said, here. And then I said, if it's okay with your parents, because it's her parents' account, I said, I'd love to send you a Bible if I can, and it'll help you understand more. And so her mom responded right away with their address and everything going. They said, we would love a Bible. And I was like, oh, this is great. That's awesome. They live in Ontario. It's just awesome, right? It's just so cool to see these different aspects of how God works in different things. And God's bringing a lot of people to our church right now. A lot of people with influence. A lot of people with popularity. A lot of people with famous sides to them in their everyday life. And they're coming up to me saying, I just want to serve this church and God in any capacity that I can. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is phenomenal, right? We've always believed that God will produce those connections that we need at church to continue forward, and always pray for that. I'm going to ramble for 20 more minutes, so I better be careful. But it's just really cool to see what God's doing at church. It's really cool to see that we're thriving in a season that, not that we assumed we wouldn't thrive, but we assumed that maybe we'd maintain, maybe we'd figure out our way around, but we're seeing people come like we've never seen before. And it's a really cool and exciting thing to be a part of. And I don't want to ever dumb down the importance of you guys. I can't say it over and over and over again. You guys are so loved, and you guys are such a blessing to us. It is phenomenal to what we can do. Think about that. We do what we do with under 10% people tithing. And you guys make up a big portion of that. And so thank you so much for all that you do. And now my thing is, let's go into those halls. Let's go out there and let's teach others of why we tithe. Let's teach others of why we want to be on board with this. Can you imagine if we went up to 15 or 16%, we'd double typically our budget? Just 16% of people. Isn't that crazy? Now imagine 50%. Our budget would go to $80 million a year. Isn't that insane? That's unreal. And that's not an astronomical number, but historically, people just haven't gotten onto that side of tithing. There's always a group of people that really make up for the people that don't tithe, and that's you guys and everyone else that has been tithing over and above, and that's phenomenal. So thank you guys so much. I want to, it's almost 9 already, so I don't want to keep you guys any longer, but I want to show you guys, for some of you that missed it, we'll just play the video of the render, Aaron, and do that instead of all the things. But to before we play it, it's on the middle screen, so I'll get out of the way once we play it, but some of you may have heard this in my message or what I spoke about yesterday a little bit during the campaign. But when my dad passed away, this was the last big project on his lap, and it was a big one. It was a really big one for him. And you know my dad, he does everything with excellence. Always did everything with excellence. But he also was like, how can we get this done and keep moving forward, right? And so he had a different place. He had a different place on the property for it, different things like that. And as we looked into a lot more, we started to see, hey, well, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do this. And let's honor not only Jesus, but let's honor Dad in this, and realize that we wouldn't be here without his leadership either and his vision casting. And it's emotional to realize that. And so there's a couple spaces in there. The Agora is one of them. I'm sure we'll do that this and there in a couple of years. And the Agora is a space that's going to be a really, it's just going to be a big Springs type of space, just communal and family orientated, and it's just seats to just chat and hang out. And it's going to be a really beautiful space that kind of sets the school apart a little bit and has a little bit of flex room there. And I'm really looking forward to it because my dad always had this massive dream of having a big school, and he always had the dream of everything being connected. That was a big thing for him. He loved that Yuville was where it was and serving the purpose it needed to, but he hated how far it was. He wanted everything on this property. And my goodness, his vision was 110 acres here. So obviously he had some pretty big, vast images and imagination that he could think, what are we going to do here? And so it's so special to me, even the fact that this building's going to connect to 595. And I'm sure one day when we build a bigger sanctuary, that's going to connect to 595 too. And we'll figure out a different way of doing that as well, because it's just going to be a massive thing. And when everyone drives by, they're going to go, wow. People are going to just turn in just because they see these amazing buildings on our property. And the moment they step in, they're going to meet people like you that just love on them, hug them, give them a handshake and say, you're here and you're a part of this family. The moment you step in, the moment you step in. Before I go there, one funny story. I was talking to, I don't want to out their names. This is where it gets hard when you're on stage. I was talking to someone that knows me very, very well, and he owns a company, and he happened to have someone that was hired in his company that was kind of running their mouth at the lunch table in his business about Springs, not knowing his connection to Springs or me or anything like that, and just making up the biggest rumors ever. Like, oh, they do this there, they do this there. You have to show your T4 at the door. They don't allow you to come unless you give, and they have to know how much you're making and how much you're giving of that, making sure it's 10%. I'm like, good Lord, if we did that, we'd be much bigger. Like, it's pretty crazy. So, no, we don't do that. But he walked in, he said, no, they don't do that. And she's like, yeah, they do. And he's like, no, they don't. And he said, he kind of told his relationship to me and was like, no, this is this, and this is this. And she just went white, wide-eyed of like, oh my goodness, I just got caught in my lie. And it made me so happy. I was like, yes, we're finally in the mix of those little conversations that happen. Look, people are going to talk about this all the time. When you're doing great things for God, they just come. And if we've seen it a little bit in the last 28 years, wait to see what more haters come out of the woodwork as we continue to get bigger and continue to advance the kingdom of God, because that's just what comes with the territory when you help people. And I'm not worried about it at all. I had an influencer come up to me that on social media saying, I really want to share your stuff, but I'm scared about the negativity that might come your way. I'm like, do it. Share it. I said, more the merrier. It doesn't matter to me. Negative comments will bring good comments too, and bring more people that are behind our backs and going forward with us. And so I'm excited. Do it. Share it. Get it, that message out there as much as possible. That's what the declarations are doing as well that I'm posting, is I want everyone just to continue to share them so people just learn how easy it is to speak God's word every day. It's not hard. It's really not hard. And I have no problem putting a bunch of declarations together that people can read and pass to their kids and just make sure they can really fill their minds with God's word, because people like to fill it with everything else, right? You're going to spend, I heard a quote, I'm probably going to butcher it, but they said that you're going to spend a lot of time in your own mind, so you got to make it a healthy spot. And the only way you can make your mind a healthy spot is if you declare God's word over your life and over your kids' life, and it's going to be amazing. So I'm going to show you the rendering video, and then the pledge cards are massive too for whoever you talk to in your community, wherever you go, you yourself and what you and your spouse or family or wherever you are looking to give towards this campaign. The pledge cards are huge. You all know that we have to have some type of bridge financing in place in order for us to get this hole dug. And this hole, I think it's early March, Mike, probably, right? By the end of March, for sure, we're going to break ground. And so everyone's like, whoa, that's really quick. I'm like, yep, it was either that or pause growth in SCA. And we're like, you know what? No, we're going to believe in faith that we're going to do this. But again, network this. Talk to the people around you that don't even come to our church. You all have amazing people in your lives that might love to just donate to a charity. Maybe it's for tax purposes. Maybe it's for they just love to donate to a charity at the end of the year, whatever it might be. Just get in there, talk to people, because we're going to see crazy things happen this year. But it's going to be because we're all stepping up and doing it. So, yeah. I love you guys so much. I'll come up after this and pray, but I wanna show you the rendering video. So Aaron, you can play the video. How beautiful is it, hey? It is, oh my goodness, it is going to be, we walked through so many, some of our team here walked through so many different schools this year, and you'd be surprised, I'm sure you're not even surprised with where we've seen so many different kids go, but the window is the natural light in that, like, it's you don't see that in many different places. And so we have something really special here. I know you guys know that, but we have something so special, especially with our school and our church. I keep having this kind of dream inside of me that goes, we're going to have people that step up and go, I want to give towards that, and I've never been there before. God's going to place it on people's hearts, and we can't slow that down, but we can help it. We can speed it up with our action, right? Faith without works is dead, and so with our faith as we have as a group, let's walk through the hallways united and together. And when you hear people saying this is ambitious, to say, no, it's not. We're going to go and do it together, right? The people that say it's so ambitious, it's like, well, it won't be if we all gather together with our communities outside of church and in church and make this a possibility and make this actually happen. We're going to see something so amazing. And so I'm excited. I'm so excited that I'm able to link arms with all of you guys. You guys are so strong and always have had Springs back. And I just want to thank you so much for being a part of this family as we go forward. But let's make this group bigger. You know, let's put tables everywhere next time we meet and have hundreds of kingdom builders that are here that just see this vision and want to be a part of what God's doing here through Springs. So let's pray, and then you guys can continue to mingle, or you guys can head out if you need to. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you for this amazing opportunity that we have to gather together, to be a team, to be a family, God. We thank you. What you're doing here is not small, and what you're doing here, every single one of us have a part to play in that, God. So we thank you that we rise to the occasion. We answer the call, God, as we pray, as we seek you, as Holy Spirit leads us in areas that maybe we've never felt equipped, maybe we've never felt like we could do it. We know we can because of who we're with, God. We're with you. And you won't guide us anywhere that we can't completely get there and do it and be encouraging and impactful all of the way, God. Just broaden our horizons, expand our imagination as we step forward in faith in this next endeavor and realize that this is just one small endeavor of many that we're going to do in the years to come. So we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. And we pray health and healing over every single person here right now, God, and all their kids and their families, God, health and healing through their family. We thank their favor and blessing upon their businesses, upon their finances, upon everything that they are a part of, God. We think that they have the best year yet this year, God. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Never agreement said, amen and amen. Love you guys. And yeah, keep mingling if you want to, or you guys can head out too.